You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Vegas Rock Dog Radio. Pets, people, pop culture. Sam, the queen of rock and roll dogs.
Hello, animal lovers. I'm Sam, the queen of rock and roll dogs, and you are listening to Vegas Rock Dog Radio, a rock and roll show all about pets, people, and pop culture. I'm live from Las Vegas, and today I'm talking about bonded dogs, water safety, and some really good news, so stay right there.
Vegas Rock Dog Radio. Pets, people, pop culture.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. I'm Sam, the queen of rock and roll dogs, and we've got a great show lined up for you today. I've got Jim in the studio. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning as well.
And we have Mr. Twix and Miss Thornton here, chewing bones, rolling around on the backs, having fun. They like to think they're assisting us.
Well, they are. They're assisting in their decisions to do whatever they want to do.
So you might hear some bone chewing. You might hear some. Well, often they try and jump up on our desk, which I don't mind. But sometimes it's a bit unexpected, and they jump up in your lap. But we've got some scratching going on. But it is a show about animals, so we don't need sound effects. We've already got them going on in the studio today. So I'm really, really glad you're here. If you're new to the show, welcome to the show. If you're one of our regular listeners, I want to say thank you. Thank you for tuning in every single week. Now, if you'd like to connect with us in other places on the internet, and there are many, many places, it's rather easy. VegasRockDogRadio.com is our main website, and you'll see us on Periscope, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Tumblr, Instagram. We have a blog. The blog is therockandrolldog.com, and we have an app, and the app is yap.us, yapp.us. Run on over to get your free app in the iTunes store, download it, and then download Vegas Rock Dog Radio onto your app. Then you'll see what we're doing. You'll be the first to see what we're doing, because when we do notifications, you get one on your phone. You get a little alert, so you'll be the first. You'll be in the know straight away. Now, of course, if you can't listen to the show live, then we make it easy for you to listen to a podcast after the show. We do it live, and then we put up the podcast, and that's where you can listen to it on iTunes and iHeartRadio and any other podcast app that you can find.
Does the internet go out into outer space like television and radio do and keep traveling throughout outer space, or does the internet just stay to the internet?
That's probably not a question for me. I have no idea.
Because television, like, you know how, like, there have been movies where, like, a TV show from the 50s becomes, like, some aliens, like, 100 years later.
What?
Watch a TV show from America from, like, 100 years earlier, because apparently radio and television signals travel throughout the universe and continue to travel.
I have no idea.
I know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm not crazy.
All I know is that an English man invented the internet. That's it.
But does it travel through space?
I have no idea. Ask him. He's still alive. You can ask him.
Maybe he'll call us. What's his name?
I've forgotten.
Tim Turnett.
Tim Turnett. That's right. That's his name. You see, you can tell what kind of show it's going to be today. There might be some randomness to it, actually. Well, I want to start with my tip of the week. And May is National Water Safety Month. Did you know that, Jim?
No, I didn't know that, but I know it now. And it's probably because we're coming into the summer season, and that's the best place to get PSAs out.
It is. It really is. As soon as it starts to get warm, we're beyond warm right now. Jim and I had a nice dinner out last night, and it was lovely to sit out. It was bearable. But
cool, and it wasn't crazy windy and annoying,
like
Vegas
it has
windy.
Been. But next week, we're going to crack 100. So, yeah, this is the time when you need to, if you've not got any safety tips in place, then now is the time. I'm going to help you out with those. It is important that you do keep your pets safe around water. And whether you're at home or you're traveling with your pets and you're planning on enjoying the pool, the lake or the ocean, you'll need to prepare and have some safety steps in place to make sure your fur baby doesn't end up in danger. And a good place to start is to ask yourself, can my dog actually swim? And people do assume that all dogs can swim. And some swim better than others, and some don't want to swim. Some aren't bothered. Like Thornton, she's not bothered about the ocean.
But she loves a water park.
But she loves a water park.
She loves a spitty fountain.
She does. But
she will attack that spitty fountain.
She loves that, but she does not like...
And she wants kids to leave the water park when she's attacking spitty fountains, because those are hers.
She wants that to all to herself. What are you calling them? Spitty fountains?
Yeah, I just made it up.
Okay. But yeah, ask yourself, can your dog swim? Because some people just assume that they can. Never assume.
You don't know until you try it.
You don't know until you try it. Don't take any chances by just assuming that. So you'll figure out if they can swim. And with that in mind, whether they're good swimmers or not, you are going to need a dog life jacket. You just are. And I'll put some links up on Facebook, on our Facebook page, and some recommendations of where you can get a life jacket for your pet. And that way, you know, they're going to be safe. It's worth doing. Make sure that they fit well. And it's worth the investment. It really is worth the investment.
Proper life jackets. Proper qualifiable life jackets. Not inflatable water wing type.
Oh, yeah. None of that rubbish.
Floaty floats.
Yeah. Get the proper equipment. You will need to teach your dog how to swim if they don't know how to swim. And also, you'll teach them how to get into the water. Where they get into the water and where they come out of the water. And this applies to any body of water that you decide where you're going to go, whether it's at home in your pool or whether you're going to the lake or you're going to the ocean. Were you going to say something then?
No, I was just waiting for what the rest of your sentence was going to be.
Here's another tip is if you have a pool, in Nevada we have a law, you must have a fence around it. You have to.
Child safety.
Child safety and pet safety, of course. And if you're getting a pool put in, then make sure that the fence is part of your design. And it's just an extra barrier to prevent accidents. And playing around in and around water, of course, is lots and lots of fun. And your dogs are going to get thirsty. Don't let them drink the water in the pool or at the beach. It's gross and it can make them rather sick. It's not a substitute for fresh water. So remember, your dog will need to hydrate and bring lots of fresh water. How many times am I going to say fresh? Fresh water on hand for your pets. And for yourself as well. Because people don't drink enough when they're in and around water. They just don't, yeah? I think people don't realize they're getting dehydrated. They're like, I'm in the water, I'm having fun. You forget about it, time goes by. But yeah, take lots of fresh water for your pets. And finally, always supervise. Never take your eyes off your pets around water, ever. Ever, ever, ever. Here's a tip, and I don't have it on my list, but if you are going to use a pet sitter and you're actually going to take your pets to your pet sitters like we do, our pet sitter taught our dogs how to swim at her pool, how to get in and out of the pool. And lots of people having pools made that are, what do they call them?
Slopey ramps.
No, don't they call them? There's a name for it. It does slope in there. It's gradual. And I forgot what they call it. There's a name for it. But lots of people are having those.
Like
as if you were walking into the ocean.
Like a...
Oh, gosh. What do they call it? There's a name for it.
They don't have a ledge. You just walk in like you're on a...
Yeah.
Beach.
Maybe we'll figure it
Slopey
out.
Slopey beach.
Slopey beach. Lots of people having those
Slopey
installed.
Edge, ledge.
And I think also a first aid kit, especially if you travel with your pets, a first aid kit, very, very important.
You need to have your friend Pam on for the first aid episode.
We do. She has.
Because she knows every bit of first aid for any kind of animal that she'll encounter.
She has the mother of all first aid kits. Everything is in there for every scenario. They used to travel a lot up to Reno, to Lake Tahoe. And they were dealing with not only the lake, but also the mountains and the forests and everything and all that comes with that kind of territory. So, yes, we will. We'll have a call in. Well, maybe I can get her to do a video and show us what is in that. It's not a little box, trust me. But when you're traveling, you know what? It's best to be prepared. And that's how we are. We like to do what we call, we laugh about it because we call it the protocol. Establish a protocol at your home or when you travel, how you're going to keep your pets safe. One of the things that we do, we always come through our garage, don't we, into the house. If the dogs are in the house, I'm not opening my door to my home until that garage door touches that floor. And it's called, we call it protocol. If you keep it the same, you'll never make a mistake. Never deviate from that. Because at the end of the day, our pets rely on us 100% for their safety.
Vegas Rock Dog Radio. Pets. People. Pop culture.
Not pumped about cleaning the litter box? Try World's Best Cat Litter Zero Mess, the litter that gives you 2 times better clumping and more odor control with less litter. That's right. You scoop once and you're done. No chiseling, no scraping, no crumbling, no problem. Looking for fast and easy litter box cleanup? Zero Mess. Try it. You're welcome in advance. Save $2 on World's Best Cat Litter. Visit www.saveonworldsbest.com.
Hi, I'm Dana Humphrey, the founder of Whitegate PR. We have been specializing in PR and marketing in the pet industry for over 10 years. If you have a pet product or service you would like to promote, give us a call. We can help create awareness for your brand on TV, radio, magazines, newspapers, and blogs. Feel free to reach me directly at 619-414-9307 or learn more on our website at whitegatepr.com or follow us on Facebook.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Vegas Rock Dog Radio. Pets. People. Pop culture.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Vegas Rock Dog Radio with me, Sam. I am the queen of rock and roll dogs. This is a name that was given to me, gosh, 10 years ago? 11 years ago?
Do we remember who gave you that name?
Yes, it was our friend Barbara. She used to call us, actually, the rock and roll king and queen of dogs.
I can't be a king,
though. I know you can't. It goes against being American.
The core of being American.
There you go. But that we've had that name for a very, very, very long time. We didn't just make it up, this moniker for the show. It's what we've been called for such a long time. And the reason being is that we started Vegas Rock Dog, our clothing line. After we got our first dog, we wanted something rock and roll. Jim's a musician. We live in Vegas, so Vegas Rock Dog Radio was kind of Vegas Rock Dog, originally the company name. And it was that Mr. Twix?
Yes.
Is he dreaming?
That was his comfort moan.
We're like, is he relaxed? Bless him.
He's right up Thornton's backside.
Oh, they're cute. They're so cute. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, so... That's how we started the company. It was based on our lifestyle. And yeah, Barbara made up that name for us and it just stuck. People think I made it up for the show. I'm like, no, I've had it over a decade. Anyway, I've got some news. And this is news I didn't think we would ever see. We also had some pretty good news last week with the last show of Barnum and Bailey, just outside of New York.
Circus is ending.
Yes.
Has ended.
I don't know. I don't know if there are more performances. I'm not sure. They said that was the very last one. Now, here's the thing. Very disappointed. We actually had friends that actually made their way out there to go and see it, despite knowing about the abuse that goes on.
Specifically to see it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Very disappointing. They know about the abuse. We've talked about it. And the excuse given was tradition and nostalgia. Well, my family were part of Barnum and Bailey in the 1800s. Were they
the monkey men?
They were not the monkey men.
Were they the bearded lady men?
They were not the bearded lady men.
What were they?
They were stilt walkers and dancers. Brothers. Mm. And despite that being this incredible family history, it doesn't matter. I would never have gone to see that last show. And my family were in that circus. and you know me, I love history and tradition and nostalgia and those kind of things.
Were they in the circus when Ringling himself was alive, or Barnum or Bailey? Well,
clearly, yeah, back then.
Wow.
Back then. As my twin sister has photos somewhere of them. I often wondered, because our whole family has been in entertainment, whether it's singers, dancers, stilt walkers. No bearded ladies, honestly.
Monkey men.
Actors. You often wonder where that comes from. Well, it's been in the bloodline for a very, very long time, but not enough for me to even ever go and see the last circus. And people are like, it's so sad, and all those people out of work, and those activists have made them close it down. No, we didn't make them close it down. What people did, in especially Compassion Works International, because Circus Project is one of their main projects, is they brought an awareness to the public that many people did not know about the abuse. Because no elephant does a headstand naturally in life wearing a tutu. Just doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen in public view, or usually
no,
doesn't.
Of course not. They just hide the abuse. And so once that was really exposed, and you know, often people like Compassion Works International, they expose this often at the risk of their own safety. They're not crazy people. They just care about animals. And it's funny. Why would people be mad at you for caring about animals? That makes me wonder about the people who are mad at you.
Because their love of money supersedes your care of animals.
It does. It really does.
Because their love of money supersedes the care of animals.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like because that
they're just animals is probably how they see
yeah,
things.
Which is terrible. So, of course, now there's a much bigger public awareness. I find it hard to believe that people don't know about it. Therefore, of course, attendance goes down. But you know what some companies would have done? They would have changed their business model. They would have said, let's let the animals retire. I mean, truly go to a sanctuary, let them go. We'll rework our circus for the current climate and how people feel about animals.
Well, they'll
in the
do some maybe public outreach and survey work and determine, well, why are our numbers dropping?
Well, they know why the numbers are dropping.
Well, but you know,
you either choose to ignore. I think they chose to ignore it.
Well, and you got egos involved because yeah. You got performers and they think that they deserve the mm-hmm. accolade just because by virtue of their talents.
Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. So the advocates, I guess, indirectly. You just through awareness and people saying, I'm not going to spend my money to participate in that and let that continue, then numbers dropped down. And of course, they ended up having to close the circus, which I'm thrilled about. People were crying. And I know lots of entertainers. And most of the entertainers we knew were like, this is really sad for the entertainers. I'm like, no, it's a great day for the animals. It's a great day for the animals. And they know what goes on. So they could have changed the business model. They didn't. And now they're closing. And that's what you get. Now, if you've been to a Cirque du Soleil show, you'll know how phenomenal those shows are. And there are no animals in them. The circus without animals is still very entertaining. These acts have been around, I mean, through generations, haven't they, Jim?
Clowns.
Still walkers. I can't walk
bearded
on stilts.
Bearded ladies. Freak shows. Although that's exploitation, too.
Oh, yeah, that stopped.
I'm making fun of like the monkey men and the bearded ladies, but that's pretty
well,
exploitation.
Ripley's, believe it or not. That's
yeah,
what
the
he
oddities,
based.
Oddities, you know, the elephant man, all of that kind of stuff.
That's what he based like, his thing on. And then I think
how
it was.
How far do you go?
I think it was in Los Angeles where they said, no, we don't like you exploiting people. This is not right.
You know, you can exploit extreme talent and athletic prowess and musical skills and all of those kinds of things. But, you know, when you exploit oddities and deformities. And
yeah, it's terrible. And make money off it. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. But I am very happy about the circus going away. Very, very happy for the animals. Although we know some of them are probably going to go into cancer testing. Did you know this?
I had no idea.
Oh,
are
yeah.
you kidding?
No, Ringling. I think it's Ringling that has.
So they're gonna.
I think it's Ringling that has a sanctuary. You know, I'm doing the air quotes there. Sanctuary, and they'll be going into cancer testing. So
they're
still.
So they're going underground. They're still making money off of animals.
Yeah.
Misfortune. Yeah. Or circumstance.
Hey, you know, people will be on that next. We'll be exposing that too. So we just have to keep on with it. I think caring about animals and trying to get the word out, it is very emotionally exhausting. I will tell you that. There are days where I go, oh, are we going backwards? I feel like we're going backwards because something else pops up, especially in town here. We've now got camels. Camel rides, just stop, for goodness sake. Enough of exploiting the animals. What do they do? Sit around and say, what animals have we not exploited for money? I just feel that way sometimes. But thankfully, there are enough of us and people kind of boost you and say, come on, we'll just keep on with this. And that's how this next piece of news has come about. And I never thought this would happen in a million years. And it was breaking news this week. And this is the actual press release that I received. And dog meat sales banned in China's Yulin Festival in milestone victory to end brutal mass slaughter of dogs. This came from the Humane Society International and the Duo Project. And just weeks ahead of China's annual dog meat festival in Yulin, at which thousands of dogs and cats are brutally bludgeoned to death and sold for their meat, animal campaigners, Duo Project and Humane Society International have received reports from Chinese activists and confirmed by three traders at Yulin's biggest dog meat market, Dongqiu, that the Yulin government is set to prohibit restaurants, street vendors, and market traders from selling dog meat at the event.
Is that the only Chinese province that dog meat is allowed for human consumption, or is it kind of...
I don't know. I just don't know. I just know that this is on such a mass scale, and I think that's why it got so much attention. But this ban comes into effect on June the 15th, 1 week prior to the festival that begins on the summer solstice of June 21st, and it will be strictly enforced with fines of up to 100,000 yuan, and risk of arrest for violations, which we figured out that was about...
Well, a yuan is 15 cents on the dollar, so about 15 grand in penalties up to.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I'm all
you
for
like
that.
My skills and my knowledge of the yuan conversion.
Oh, you're amazing.
Yes, very mathematical.
Now, the news is warmly, if cautiously, welcomed by Duo Project and HSI and their respective Chinese animal group partners on the ground, all of whom have campaigned for years for an end to the brutality of Yulin and China's year-round dog meat trade. While campaigners recognize that the ban is temporary and does not yet signal an end to the Yulin event, in advance of which dogs are still likely to be killed, it is nonetheless a milestone victory in the ongoing campaign to end mass dog and cat slaughter in Yulin and is evidence of growing political will from inside China to clamp down on the trade.
Well, Yulin apparently is just the place where there's the most well-known festival. But it seems like still then maybe the country still has a problem where dog meat is considered fit for human consumption. And that's the big difference between those kinds of countries and countries that don't disallow.
I'm seeing the culture's changing, though, Jim, across the country.
Well, the law has to change and follow suit with the cultural changes. Then.
That's right. They do have to go hand in hand, most definitely. Now, Andrea Gung...
Makes me want to talk to any Chinese person that I meet now and say, hey, what's your take on this?
Well, yeah. I mean,
I'm going to start quizzing Chinese friends.
But there are a lot of animal lovers in China. And of course, that's all that ever gets highlighted because it's just horrible.
I wonder if it's the old generations and maybe the young are now shying away from it, or
I don't, I that
not being
I don't
forced into it.
That I don't know, but it definitely needs to be phased out. Andrea Gung, she's the executive director of Duo Project, says, even if this is a temporary ban, we hope this will have a domino effect leading to the collapse of the dog meat trade. I have visited Yulin many times in the last 2 years, and this ban is consistent with my experience that Yulin and the rest of the country are changing for the better. I am very impressed that the younger generation, there you go, here's the answer. Here's the younger generation in Yulin and in China is as compassionate as their counterparts in the rest of the world. Duo Project also wants to congratulate Mr. Mo Gongming, Yulin's new party secretary, for his progressive and visionary leadership. I hope this will turn out to be the beginning of the end of the dog eating habit in China. Peter Lai, China policy specialist at the Humane Society International, says the Yulin Dog Meat Festival is not over just yet, but if this news is true, as we hope, it is a really big nail in the coffin for a gruesome event that has come to symbolize China's crime-fueled dog meat trade. Millions of dogs and cats are stolen each year, including pets, and driven thousands of miles across China to be bludgeoned to death in front of each other.
So it's a black market as well. So there's illegal cash flow.
Yeah, it sounds really scary as well. As opposition to this trade has grown within China and across the world, much focus has been placed on the Yulin Festival, this one festival. And so it is significant politically that the authorities are taking the outrage to curb this cruelty seriously. At last year's Yulin Festival, there were roadblocks set up to deter those dog trucks coming in, and now this ban signals further progress. Regrettably, many dogs and cats will still be killed for the Yulin Festival in advance of the ban, so the suffering is not over yet. But this is certainly a milestone victory, and we commend the Yulin authorities for taking this action. Now, Duo Duo and HSI are urging Yulin authorities to make the ban permanent, make public service announcements warning against transportating. That's not a word.
What the heck?
Transporters are good. That is one of my best flubs.
Transportating.
I think that's one of my best flubs ever.
What if you were a truck driver and you delivered potatoes? Would you be transportating
potatoes? Transportating potatoes.
And tomatoes.
And tomatoes. No, transportating.
Transpernating.
Transportating potatoes and tomatoes.
Maybe you could make up a sentence and that could be used in like a diction class for like radio personalities.
You know, it's a good tongue twister. It'd be very good warm-up.
What are those tongue twisters called that people tongue that twisters. Speak for a living train with?
Tongue twisters.
I thought there's a technical name for that.
What did I say the word was again?
Transportating.
That's fantastic. Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
It's like snowballing.
It is.
What are you going to start speaking in 2 minutes?
We're going to start speaking in English. Here we go. Make public service announcements warning against transporting dogs for the dog meat trade that highlight the new associated penalties, enforce food safety laws and regulations, and build a government facility to house dogs confiscated from the dog meat trade. That's going to be a problem for them. It really is. And they're going to have to, at least they know that's going to be something they have to deal with as it happens. This number is going to blow your mind. More than 10 million dogs and around 4 million cats are killed every year across China for their meat, contrary to popular belief. This will blow your mind too. The Yulin Festival is not a traditional event, but one invented in 2010 by dog meat traders to boost flagging sales. At its height, an estimated 10,000 to 15,000 dogs were killed at Yulin. Goodness me. Reduced to 2,000 to 3,000 in recent years. Most of the dogs are stolen pets and strays grabbed from the street, still wearing their collars when they reach the slaughterhouse where they are typically beaten to death. Most people in China don't eat dogs, and pet owners and dog thieves have had numerous violent clashes. The dog meat trade also poses a threat to public health, with the World Health Organization warning that the trade spreads rabies and increases the risk of cholera. Isn't that horrible?
I wonder if the Chinese have, like, celebrities or high-ranking politicians that, you know, go out and vocally oppose these kinds of things.
They probably do, Jim. They probably do. I mean, clearly these people on the ground in China know who's involved and, you know, who's on their side. I mean, culturally, sometimes with certain countries, culturally, like, you know, bullfighting, it's a lot to go up against, but eventually those changes start happening. This, to me, is really good news. It really is good news. There's a risk of spreading rabies and also the risk of cholera. Last year, a petition of 11 million signatures, I know I signed it, was handed into the Yulin government in Beijing on behalf of the Human Society International, Duo Duo Project, Raise Your Paw, Care 2, and Avaz. And the late Star Wars actress Carrie Fisher and her dog Gary, I remember seeing this live actually on Facebook, gathered with the campaigners outside the Chinese embassy in London to send the petition on its way. Speaking at the event, she said, "There is so much animal suffering in the world, and much of it you feel helpless to end. But stopping the Yulin Dog Meat Festival and ending all that suffering is easy. All the Chinese authorities need to do is declare it shut down, and the killing stops. These poor dogs need us to fight for them. Every single one of them is as precious as my dear Gary. Every one of them is someone's best friend." Carrie would have really liked this piece of news, wouldn't she, Jim?
It would have been, yeah. That would have validated her work.
It would have, and she did a lot for animals, and that was one of the great ways that she used her celebrity to really shine a light. Another person is Housewives of Beverly Hills, English, Lisa Vanderpump. She's been very active politically.
Oh, really?
She's been active politically, yeah, with this festival, yeah. So I'm sure she's very thrilled to hear this news. And you, like she said, you've got to just keep at it, because we can make this change. It's happening. It's happening. And I didn't think it would happen, but this is wonderful. Now, Alcee Hastings introduced a congressional resolution last year condemning the Yulin Dog Meat Festival and urging China to end its dog meat trade. He introduced it this year, and H-Res 30 already has the bipartisan support of 153 co-sponsors. There is a vibrant campaign inside China to end the dog meat trade, with Chinese animal activists staging protests and dog rescues all year round. And that's really good to hear that. And you can donate and help them out, actually, by going to hsi.org/dog meat. I'll put those links up on Facebook. Yep, it's new.
Those Chinese people have so many good foods that it's like, wow, you have some of the best food in the world. Why do you need to like go there with?
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, we don't eat meat. You can eat very easily on Chinese food, quite easily.
I could.
Vegas Rock Dog Radio, pets, people, pop culture.
They called it elephant skin. It was rough, wrinkly, like a Brillo pad.
His hair was falling out in clumps.
Petey stopped eating and all his hair fell out.
Our golden retriever, Sundance, he scratched incessantly. There was hair all over.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Within 2 weeks, the shedding slowed down to almost none. The scratching went away after a few days, and Sundance's coat was starting to get shiny and glossy.
It's a 180 turnaround. His skin has cleared up. He is not in pain.
If your dog has shedding, dry skin, excessive scratching
due to Dynavite.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000. Dynavite for life.
DINOVITE.com.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Vegas, Rock Dog Radio, pets, people, pop culture.
You're listening to Vegas Rock Dog Radio. I'm Sam, your host and the queen of rock and roll dogs, and Jim's in studio with me today.
Yes, I am.
Is that it? Is all you have to say?
No. I've been carefully paying attention to today's articles and stories, so it's a lot of news, a lot of stuff for me to digest right now. I just kind of haven't been aware of these things.
There's a
and
lot.
Then all of a sudden, they become news stories.
Week by week, there's so much in the news, so much in the news. I do have a little piece of news for you. Our 80s Hairball fundraiser for animal rescue is on June the 10th at No Regrets Bar here in Vegas.
People are flying in for that, aren't they?
I think they are for this particular one, yeah.
It's world famous this event.
We usually have people fly in for all our events. But this is our biggest one of the year to raise money for animal rescue, and it will benefit Rocking for Rescues, which is 501c3 that keeps other animal rescues funded. And because it's the 80s theme, everybody dresses up. People are planning their outfits right as we speak right now.
Yeah, you're well known in the community, locally, and people flying in. It is. I said on one of the social media platforms, I said it is world famous.
Thank you very much.
And if you don't know about it, you have to ask someone who's been.
And you know, if you're in California and you're not far away, or Utah, you can just come in for the weekend and come to our event. It's only $25 a ticket. You get food, you get a little swag bag. Get to dress up. We'll have music playing. We have a great, great raffle and auction. We've got a signed program from Cher. We've got a real fire hydrant that's been painted.
Oh.
We've got lots of great pet stuff, of course. We always have tons of really fantastic pet baskets. So we've got lots of really fun stuff. It's just a great night out, and you get to benefit Animal Rescue.
Yeah, and there should be, if you're coming in from out of town or wanting to come in from out of town, I don't think there's any big events in Las Vegas, so there shouldn't be any problem finding a hotel room.
Oh, no, and hotel rooms are cheap here. They're really cheap.
And they're way nicer than other big cities.
Yeah. We like L.A., but boy, do we hate their hotels. Wow. They're horrible.
How much do you pay for a motel room in L.A., and what do you get?
They're dumb. They're dumb.
You know, when you live here and you're like, we get what for the same amount of money?
Or less. And
or half?
Our hotels are amazing. So we are definitely spoiled here. No wonder people do staycations here. It's cheap and easy and lovely hotels. Wonderful. So our 80s Hairball, if you want to pick up tickets, you can go to our website, 80shairball.com. Really simple. And you'll be able to click and find information about the event, shared flyer, find out a little bit more about Pam and myself and why we do this. And I say it's our biggest event of the year. And we like to grow it each year. But we have people ask us before we actually put our date out, when is it happening? When is it happening? Because they love to plan it. We haven't figured out what we're going to dress as this year. I was Prince last year. You were an 80s hairband musician.
Who was blonde?
You blonde, long blonde, curly wig.
I was blonde.
So I've got to figure out what my character is going to be. And it can be anything from anyone from the 80s, whether it's an actor, a singer, a band, someone from a TV show. And we love it. Everybody dresses up. We have a red carpet. We have a great photographer, Ira, who comes out and supports us. So you'll always see great photos of yourself as well. Fun times ahead. Fun times ahead. Now, talking about fun times tomorrow. No, today. It's been going on actually for the last 3 days. Is the Cars of the Stars.
No.
Yes, it's Cars of the Stars.
Isn't it today?
It started today. It started last night.
Okay.
No, well, in the afternoon, today.
And Sunday.
I think there's a
is
little
three
bit.
3 days?
Saturday's the main day. Today's the main day.
Okay.
Saturday's the main day. And this is why it's exciting, because my friend Kat Hickland, she owns one of the kit cars from Knight Rider. There were a few of them, and she's Michael, who designed it. He designed the DeLorean, too.
I saw he was in the passenger seat with
her.
Yeah,
he's
that picture.
So nice. Have you not met him?
No,
you have.
He didn't just design that car, though. He designed a lot of famous TV
movie
cars,
yes.
I think like the A-Team van, I think he did
oh,
as
really?
Well. I think so. I was talking with him at the memorial.
You were?
Yeah, I can't remember, but he designed several. Nice guy. Doesn't he live in the South?
I'm not sure where Michael lives, but he's flown into town for it. They had a parade down Las Vegas Boulevard. And then they're going to be on Fremont Street. So I'm going to be around there around about noon today, something, noon, 12:30. If anyone's down there, come down and see the kit car. I have been in that car with Kat the kit car, down the boulevard.
Transportating
down the boulevard. And people could not believe their eyeballs. We had so many photos taken. It was really, really fun. What do you call that thing at the front with the lights that run up and down right to left on the front of the car? There's a name for it.
That's like where Kit's mouth is.
Yeah, and it does talk to you. I've been inside it.
Does it have that real steering wheel that looks like a Star Wars fighter jet instead of a wheel?
Yeah. Yes, I think it's
looks like a yoke from an airplane.
Yes.
Oh, I want to drive it.
Well, tomorrow we'll be there. We'll take some photos and maybe do some Facebook Live. And that's going to be lots of fun. So what I wanted to talk about is, do dogs bond with each other? Do they not? If they do, in what ways do they bond?
Of course they bond with each other.
Well, that's what I...
Otherwise, they wouldn't get along and they'd fight every time they saw each other.
There you go. That's how I look at it, Jim. So I found this article, it's a very good article, because it's something that crops up all the time. We see people saying, never adopt out littermates. There's no such thing as bonded dogs. People saying there are bonded dogs. So I did a lot of research to come up with some answers.
Pray tell, what are they?
There are many ways in which dogs can be bonded. And so when it comes to both dog adoption and ownership, an important thing to consider is that any two dogs on the face of the planet, regardless of age, size, gender, and breed, can be deemed a bonded pair as long as they have spent significant time together. Though the common underlying issue is rooted in that at least one of the two dogs is generally codependent, there is actually quite a variation of bonded pair types that can exist in nature. So it can happen. While the norm and what most people have come to expect of a bonded pair is typically two dogs of the same or similar breed, you may come across a Chihuahua bonded with a Great Dane in your quest for a new pet or two. And stranger things have happened after all, it's true. So whether you're in search of a bonded pair of pooches to adopt, or you are worried that you may accidentally create a bonded pair with a dog living under your roof, the first step is to identify the bond type.
James Bond type.
No. Nope. Here's the first one, which is a genetic bond. And I think that's the one that's talked about the most on the internet. The most common bonded pair is often a result of genetics. A bond between siblings, for example, is created from inside the womb even before they can understand what is happening. If littermates are weaned and raised together until they are adopted with little time apart, their bond will remain strong. However, if two littermates are adopted together, they will often become extremely codependent and will throw tantrums when apart. Hmm. Our dogs would do it. They just would anyway. All our dogs have done that. When we've taken one to go to the groomers, we'll left the two behind. Two would cry.
Yeah.
So I think
messing up their routine. This isn't how their life is supposed to be.
That's the thing. I think that's the thing, is the routine. I think you hit the nail on the head there. This is not normal. We normally all go somewhere together, or we're all at home together. That's
why are you taking that one away from us?
So when we go to the vet, if it's just for one, we take them all. It makes life so much easier and no one gets upset. So they're not throwing any tantrums. The topic of adopting or owning littermates has been up for discussion for decades, as many people feel as though they will never be capable of living their own life, constantly relying on the other for assurance, entertainment, or protection. They are living together for their whole lives. You've adopted two. They stay with you their whole lives. I'm going to tell you this because I'm a twin, yeah?
I knew that.
You do know that. I'm a twin. And, of course, we are bonded in a big, big way. Now, while, believe it or not, I used to be chronically shy. And so it was always for me to lean on Serena, you know, say we needed information and someone needs to make a phone call, which I actually still don't like being on the phone. She would make the phone call.
Oh, guess who's taken over that role?
You have.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
you see,
that makes sense.
Bonded with you, and now you take that role.
No, I have to do what Serena used to do when you were kids.
That's right. Now, she would then lean on me for other things. I would lean on her, but it worked. That's my thing, is it worked between the two of us. So is it really a bad thing, in my opinion, that one dog leans on the other because the other one will lean on for something else? Yeah? Is that a good analogy, Jim?
It makes sense to me.
Mm, yeah. And it wasn't a bad thing for me.
Now Serena, I know why I have to make all the phone calls in the house.
Yeah, that's right. I do not. And that's been from being a child. I never liked getting on the telephone, ever. I love to text, by the way. Text and email. I'm great on the social media.
Voice to text.
Yes, I'm very comfortable with that. But the getting on the phone thing, I do not like
recorded
that. Plus,
text message.
And I think now, because we're so busy and everybody's trying to do things efficiently, sometimes phone calls are not efficient. It takes longer than it should. And I cannot stand it when people leave a message and say, call me. Why can't you leave a message? That's so frustrating. So again, it wastes time. I prefer a text. But I've had this thing since I was a child. But Serena would make the phone calls, and now you make the phone calls for me, you see?
I wonder if I could find somebody else to make the phone call.
Now, they did say that siblings...
I don't like making phone calls. So I don't know how we're going to resolve that.
I don't.
Now that it's recognized.
Yeah. Now I've fessed up to it.
As a bonding issue.
Well, siblings can develop socialization issues such as ignoring or fighting with other dogs whom they are not related to. This is what they think can happen as well. Many are aware that taking a puppy from its mother too early in life can cause some major issues. Additionally, puppies who are adopted later than 9 weeks and continue to nurse from the mother will find it traumatizing once they are separated. A bond such as nursing has its effects on the mother as well, especially if all of her puppies have left the nest. she can too become very protective of her only child and will keep treating it like a puppy for as long as she can. This means her child will not learn valuable skills such as cleaning or feeding itself or sleeping alone.
Okay.
All right.
I'm following you.
Next one, grief aid. This is the next category of bonding. There are two ways that grief or mourning can birth an unexpected bond apart amongst two unsuspecting canine companions. The first would be in a scenario wherein there are multiple dogs in the home that get along to some degree, then none would be considered bonded. Let's say there are three dogs and one of the dog passes away. Let me tell you something. This is real life that I'm just speaking about, that we're still living through this. What many people will find in this situation that the loss of their pal will often bring the two remaining dogs together, even if they hated each other in the past. Now, ours did not hate each other, but they got so much closer, didn't they, Jim?
True.
I mean, they never would lay on top of each other to go to sleep, but they do now. Dogs seem to have an incredible intuition to help others in emotional distress, such as getting over the loss of a mutual friend, even if it means putting their baggage aside. I will say that has been our absolute experience. The second scenario that might create a bonded pair is when adopting a brand new dog in order to help their existing dog mourn the loss of his companion. We see that a lot as well, mm-hmm. don't we, Jim? Mm-hmm. If the dog seems to be taking the grieving process a little hard and appears depressed, many people will turn to this option in order to lift their pup's spirits. And while completely well-intended, one thing to know is that dogs, like their human counterparts, are more vulnerable during times of need. Finding comfort in his new friend can sometimes result in an unrequited dependency on the newer dog for the original dog's happiness. Medical aid, that's the next one. As of the most noble jobs a dog can have is to be a service dog for humans, and there are a number of incredible ways that a dog can act as a guide for another canine with a disability as well. We see this too. Much like a service dog would for his person, many dogs can actually help other dogs see by acting as their eyes. Because dogs have such impressive hearing, they can rely on sound and minimal prompting by their guide dog to help them get around. Though there is sometimes a learning curve, what there would be with anything like that, during the initial stages, some owners of blind dogs will opt to tether the two together as they learn to follow each other.
Oh,
and as you can imagine,
the one with the eyes sees for the one without.
Mm-hmm. And as you can imagine, these dogs are not only bonded because they spend so much time together, but they would truly suffer apart, and this decision is often supported by their vets. I think sometimes it just naturally happens because I've seen that with friends. They say, I feel like my dog, this one dog that can see, is more mindful with my dog that can't see. So there you go.
They know those things.
They do. You've got to give dogs more credit than most people do these days. Now, there's a working bond. Dogs who have been trained to work in other areas of assistance, such as wild stock herding or shepherd dogs, tend to bond together due to their everyday nearness. Have you ever worked as part of a team? It tends to bring people closer together, and the same goes for dogs. When canines are familiar with each other's habits and learn to depend and rely on each other to accomplish a task, they can often feel alone, incompetent, or incomplete if the other dog is missing. While on a farm, these dogs tend to work in packs. If a dynamic duo clicks, they will feel like they are bonded for life. I think you can relate to that as a musician, being in the show that you're in, Jim.
How
you think about your relationships from day one.
Yeah, you're
accomplishing a task, which is putting out a fantastic show.
So you have a common thing that you're involved in, and everybody works toward that common goal, and then
you do get over closer. Time,
you know, you learn the innate, you know, tendencies of the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
You go, okay, he'll go here now. Okay, I'll expect this now.
Yeah. So you become bonded.
It's like when I take these two on walks, same thing. They have a routine when we walk.
Yeah, it's what they do together.
They look after each other. If one hears something, the other one stands to that dog's guard. And if the other one sees something, the other dog, that again.
And wouldn't you say,
like, they have a follow the leader kind of mentality.
Wouldn't you say there's also a level of comfort that comes with being bonded, like you are in your show, where people are bonded together, they get one task, and then it becomes really comfortable because you get to know and get closer with each other.
I think so.
It's not a negative thing.
No.
It feels good when you're like, we work together and we're all close and look at this show that we just put out. Fantastic.
Yeah, I think there's more power in a team than there is an individual. No matter how talented an individual is, a team is always has more power, more punch, more, you know, staying, I guess. You see that in the music world, like U2. They've been together since they were teenagers.
Yeah. That's an incredible bond.
The Who, you know. That's interesting because, you know, and then you can look at the opposite of that, like, say, Journey. Whenever Steve Perry started firing musicians and hiring studio musicians, then they ceased to be what Journey was at its core. They became a collection of talented individuals, but they weren't a group.
So you relate to the working bond then?
Yes, I'm a working bonder.
You're a working bonder. Now, there's a trauma-induced bond. Though these situations can be sad at times, dogs who have experienced an accident or otherwise traumatic experience together will often seek each other out for comfort. Sometimes these dogs don't even have any prior background or knowledge of each other, such as dogs who have been saved from a flash flood, from a wildfire, from a puppy mill, and I'm going to say this, from testing, because our friend just rescued a bunch of beagles from a testing lab. And so they've had this same experience, which is...
They're not from the same lab, but they're from the same experience.
I think they're from the same lab, actually. They all came from the same lab. However, sharing these experiences will more often than not bring them together in a strong bond that would have not been created otherwise. Think about passengers who have survived a plane crash, for example. Yeah, they don't necessarily know each other, but they share a collective harrowing experience that unites them, and their coping skills bring them comfort. Dogs in this situation will look to each other for, I don't know this word, assuagement?
Assuagement?
I've never seen that word.
Assuage, kind of like a synonym for assuage.
When faced with another trauma.
Look, comforting.
Comfort, yeah. And help, yeah. So that's another way. Now, kennel mates, dogs who have sat in shelters together over time, and this is one that really resonates with me because we work with a lot of rescues, especially those who have shared a kennel, very often become bonded pairs, almost out of survival. Imagine yourself leaving your family and everything you know behind, only to end up in a small concrete box. Very similar to a trauma-induced bond, these dogs often find comfort in each other's company, but they also overcome issues together. Despite not having shared any history, they have no choice but to get to understand each other, to pick up on their habits, and to trust them. In a situation where dogs have been slighted by humans in the past, they may feel incapable of trusting the shelter staff. Their kennel mate, however, is in it for the long haul, and curling up next to them in the dark every night for what must feel like ages is sure to create a bond that is out of this world. I want to come back to that. Breeding partners, animals such as the gibbon, or the swan, yes, are monogamous and mate for life. And though the same, however, cannot be said for canines, dogs who have been rescued from a mill together will often remain a couple. Though this particular bond is very specific, it combines many aspects of trauma and kennel life together, as puppy mill dogs are most often kept in deplorable conditions, forced to breed in tiny wire cages, and can go an entire lifetime without knowing another dog outside of their breeding partner. Now, there's an interspecies. We've talked about this before, haven't we, Jim? Probably the most rare of bonded pairs are those between species. With the invention of the internet, we have recently become taking note of how much love an interspecies home can share. Though there does seem to be a surge in absolutely adorable YouTube content, when you think about how many cats and dogs actually live together in this day and age, the number of true, bona fide bonded pairs is extremely low. However, in situations wherein a feline and a canine companion have lived together in a home for 12 years, for example, and the elderly owner passes away, rescue organizations tend to take much pity. A reputable rescue will do everything in their power to keep the pair a unit as they embark on their new adventure together.
Yeah, because the more time and the older they are, the more they depend on being together.
Yes, that's the familiarity of their day-to-day life. I want to come back to that, though. Healthy versus unhealthy bonds. Though in many situations, bonded dogs are kept together to ensure that they can live healthy, happy lives, there can also be too much of a good thing to so to speak. So what is the difference between a healthy relationship versus an unhealthy one? A healthy bond between two dogs is where is one wherein the dogs provide each other with strengths that the other lacks, like me and my twin. When together, these dogs thrive in social situations due to the confidence that their partner gives them, which they may otherwise not have. Though they... they may seem vulnerable when away from their partner, the absolute best is brought out in both when they are together. They truly make each other a better dog in the way that a human hopes their spouse makes them a better person. Healthy bonded pairs take care of each other, encourage one another, and truly allow the other dog to be happy or fulfilled. Unhealthy bonds. Much like the human world, there are relationships in the animal kingdom that are harmful to those involved in the long run. For example, if a bonded pair of dogs consists of one alpha and one submissive, there is a fine line that can be crossed wherein the alpha dog controls much of the submissive dog's life, daily life. A dog who lacks confidence may allow a more self-assured dog to make decisions for him, such as when and how much he eats, to whom he interacts with. It is important to acknowledge when one dog bullies another and to identify that your submissive dog may be better off without his companion in order to succeed in life. Well, I think lots of people sometimes will find themselves in that situation and they say, it's not working out and it's not good for them. Maybe I need to find another home for this particular dog. And we just saw something today, didn't we, about that situation. Another dog was brought into the home and was not getting on with the other dogs. Daisy.
Oh, yeah.
So there are those situations, and I think you can tell when it's not working out. Now, when it does come to bonded pairs, and as I say, there are some rescues that will absolutely not promote a bonded pair. They'll say there's no such thing as a bonded pair. But I don't have any. I feel like they should make the effort when you've got a bonded pair that came from a home, say their owner's passed away and they're together, and that's the only thing they know that's familiar because their owners have passed away. And I do think you should try and keep them together. I know it's more difficult. It is. Not everybody's looking for two dogs or a dog and a cat. But I do think the effort should be made. I know it's convenient to separate them. But sometimes I feel like welfare of the animals comes before convenience if it takes a little bit longer. But
just to wait because you don't have as many people potentially ready to adopt two dogs as one.
But you know what I see, Jim? Because of the internet, and I see these stories all the time, the minute they say a bonded pair and you see how they interact with each other on the video, I saw one of the tiniest chihuahua with, it might have been a golden, and that little chihuahua slept on the back of that golden. Clearly bonded. And people do respond to that. They do. And they say, oh gosh, they need to be together. And so I do think it's worth trying to promote them together and trying to, you know, do all you can to do that. I mean, and worst case scenario is that you do have to adopt them separately. But I do have a friend recently who lost a dog, and she said, I'm thinking of adopting two. She did say that. So there are those people out there, and we love them for that. And a majority of rescues, like I say, are against adopting out of a pair. I understand those difficulties. However, knowing the many ways in which two dogs can be bonded, is it not worth the effort to give them as much normalcy as possible by adopting them together and think about their well-being? I think
you can afford to have two dogs and you have the space and you have the means and wherewithal for two. Otherwise, you're not.
Yeah, but sometimes, Jim, seriously, if that was me, this is talking about me, I wouldn't be saying, can I have two dogs and do the wherewithal and the. No, let's keep them together. We'll figure it out.
Right. But someone who's looking to adopt a dog may be going, look, we want one dog for our house. And so we're not the candidates for that bonded pair. Someone else might be.
Yeah.
You know.
But if it was me, I say I wouldn't be thinking of logistics. I'm going, we'll figure it out because I want to keep them together. That's me. That would be you too.
Yeah, but like I said, it's
no, different strokes. No, I'm talking about me and you.
Yeah, but different strokes for different folks.
But I'm talking about me and you.
Okay.
How we would be. We would say, you know, we'll figure it out. We'd like to keep them together.
And then some.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about me and you.
I know, but some people aren't going to be the me and you. Some people will go, no, we just want one dog for now.
No, I get that. I'm just saying how we would be is my point. Yeah, we got a soft spot for all animals, really. Oh, did you see that post I put up today with the guinea pigs with the most amazing hair? Oh, so we got a little reverse sneezing going on here. Are you okay, Miss Thornton?
I've shied away from the social media today, so I didn't see it.
The guinea pigs with the best hair. I'm so jealous. I've hair envy of a guinea pig. That's that's a different level of jealousy. It really is. Well, Jim, have we come to the end of this show? Because I feel like this has been a long show.
We have.
We have?
We've gone. Yeah, we've met our time requirements and then some today.
Oh, and then some. Well, I hope you found today's show interesting as we covered our safety tips for the, what did I call it? National Water Safety Month.
Water Safety Month of May.
And we've talked about the Yulin Dog Festival.
And Chinese.
Look forward to more good news coming out of that situation. We talked a little bit about the circus closing down. And we've talked about our bonded pairs. And don't forget to pick up your tickets to the 80s Hairball by going to 80shairball.com. It's in Vegas. Come in for the weekend. Our hotels are gorgeous. They're not too expensive. And the tickets are only $25. You get food. We've got music. We've got a great raffle and auction. You meet like-minded people who love animals as we raise money for animal rescue. And if you like today's show, and especially if you're listening on your smartphone, then there's a share button on there. And if you would tell all your friends about our show, we would truly appreciate it. And of course, find us on social media. We love to communicate with everyone. And I, in particular, love to see the pictures of your pets. In fact, I just posted today a video. No, I did, actually asked a friend to post the video because I saw this video. And that is my friend Alicia with her dog Odie and her new little rescue, Gracie, Miss Gracie, at a convention, having a slumber party in the hotel with a bunch of other cute little Shih Tzus in their pajamas.
Like you do.
He might have been the only boy, and it kind of reminded me a little bit of like the Playboy Mansion with, what's his name?
Hugh Hefner.
Hugh Hefner. And I think Odie was Hugh Hefner. He needed a smoking jacket and then all the pretty girls around him. But a very cute video. So please send me your videos. Send me your photographs because I want to see them, and we'll put them on our Facebook page and on Twitter as well. Well, like I say, if you like the show today, please share it amongst your friends. And remember, you can help an animal in need. Either rescue, adopt, donate, volunteer, or share their information. Rescue your next family member, place a word shop with adopt, and be kind to all animals. Thank you, Jim. It's been a great show.
Excellent.
And I want to thank you, the listeners, for being part of the show every single week. It's the most important part of the show every single week. And today, you've been listening to Vegas Rock Dog Radio, where it's all about pets, people, and pop culture. I'm your host, Sam, the queen of rock and roll dogs. Always kiss your pets good morning and good night, and I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Vegas Rock Dog Radio. Pets, people, pop culture.
Visit Vegas Rock Dog Radio for more information. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And subscribe on iTunes and iHeartRadio. And remember, give your fur babies a big kiss from me, Sam, the queen of rock and roll dogs. You must not rely on the information in this broadcast from our hosts as an alternative to medical advice from your veterinarian. If you have any specific questions about a medical matter regarding your pets, you should consult your veterinarian or specialist.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.